All right, we are back for Volume 5 of Mind Management by Matt Kent. This is John Holloway and Tim Benson. Our friend Jeff had to say goodbye, so he took off. But we are here carrying on the dream to make it through all 6 volumes of discussing Mind Management by Matt Kent. And as I mentioned, we're up to Volume 5, The Eraser. And this one continues all the mind management minty goodness, but we do get to meet a little bit of different people, and we start this volume with Maru. She's on the run. She's trying to get away from mind management, but as it turns out, they have tracked her down. Luckily, Dusty's army, all these people who listened to his last album, and I don't know why, because there's like, they all look exactly alike. I don't know if that's a fashion thing or if they're mutants or what's going on. I don't know for sure. But
his music transformed them.
I guess so. So anyway, they have helped her out. She manages to escape. She's crossing the country, and she gets to India, which, like,
yep,
you do.
Yeah.
And she talks to this, right, she talks to this monk, and basically tells her, you don't have the full training. You need more training, and that's kind of the gist of it. And
he kind of sets her on the quest that consumes the rest of this story arc, which is the search for the first immortal.
Right.
Who's a lot cooler than the mortals we've met so far.
Yeah, who were kind of just like,
they were Russian immortals. I mean,
well, that too, yeah, right? But it just felt like they were enforcers.
Yeah,
you know, they didn't really necessarily have as interesting of a context. But this guy, we meet him right off the bat, issue 26. He's got this underwater, you know, base treasure trove, which we later find out was actually the original headquarters of mind management for a while. Yeah. And he's got this hole. He's got treasures underneath here. And he sits there. He reads stuff. There's an umbrella that he plays around with. And I think probably one of the more interesting aspects of him is that he grows mushrooms out of his head.
Does he control the growth of the mushroom? Or is that his way of purging the toxins in his body? And it's naturally they just form mushrooms.
Possibly. But then that if that's him purging his body of toxins,
he's bored.
Well, doesn't that make the next thing he does with the mushrooms weird?
I mean, he is immortal. I mean, what's going to happen?
Right. I get it. But he pulls the little mushrooms
off his head. He picks the mushrooms off his head and eats them,
right,
which sends him out on a trip and then creates new mushrooms, and he just continues this cycle forever.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the kind of immortality I want.
It's not what I had in mind.
It's not what I had in mind. Yeah, there's a quote from Woody Allen of saying, some people want to be immortal through their work. I want to be immortal through not dying. But Maru's looking for this guy, and she puts together clues, she finds little things, and she's able to track her way to figuring out where it is. And she hires some divers, and they're going to go down. And
so here, Matt's always said that his wife, Charlene, taught him everything he knows about watercolors.
Okay.
This page, so page 15... Mm-hmm. Or I don't know what page it is for you.
Yeah, 51.
Of 26.
Yep.
Is proof that he's not just being nice. Look at Department H.
Yeah.
Where they go diving.
Right.
Oh, and the colors.
Yeah.
Matt is a wonderful painter, but...
He is.
Yep. This is... I just started reading Department H.
Yeah. I read the first volume. Oh, it's awesome.
So, anyways. So, yeah. So, she dives and finds the first immortal with his broken umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, so she finds this underwater base, and she goes in, and she and the first immortal, and he does offer her a mushroom,
mm-hmm,
which it seems like he's going to, it's his way to sort of try to bring her into his illusion, but then he's going to sort of tell her the story. And it's his whole backstory, which is also to a large degree the backstory of mind management.
Yeah.
And how mind management gets started. And he says he will tell her this on one condition, and that condition is that he kills her. That she kills him at the end. He's ready to die.
I find it, I'm so consumed by this first immortal story,
mm-hmm.
and she is too, that both her and I forget that simply by sitting there listening to the story, she kills him.
Right.
Like, oh, my story is over. Oh, crap, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hits her that he was dying while telling this story because she was canceling out his ability.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was a guy who'd been immortal. He'd gone out into the wilderness. He'd lived in the jungle with these natives, and they'd stabbed him, but he still didn't die. And so he just sort of stays with him. But this other guy comes, finds him, and they end up coming back and making...
Starting mind management.
And I will tell you, one of the pages that's my favorite is the page that shows the underwater base.
With the cutout. Yeah.
I love those cutouts, man. Yeah. I've always been a sucker for those. And he did a similar thing. Matt did a similar thing in Ninjak for Valiant recently.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't doing the art, but it was clearly...
He did it back, like a page.
Yeah, exactly. And we also meet this fortune teller that they knew, who comes back later, and it turns out that they did all these kind of things. This guy who was immortal, destroyed blimps. It's like the Hindenburg, but he was kind of riding on top of it. He actually, I think, decides he's going to stop the atomic bomb from being dropped, but instead he actually
rides
down with it, survives, although that's where he gets all these bandages wrapped around him. And at the end, he tells all this story and,
well, he kills his buddy with the umbrella.
Yeah.
And
there's basically this thing that the umbrella makes you unbeatable.
Yeah.
And then when she gets back up, there's this guy that she's got to fight who's very big, very strong, but she takes him out, man. And then I think she's going to die because they both get pulled underwater, but she manages to make it back up again. And I think there's a point there where she...
Well, the other guy on the boat saves her.
Yeah. And but I think there's a point there where she's just about ready to give up.
Yeah.
Because the weight of everyone who keeps dying... Every time she follows this, people die. Bill's dead. Now the immortal's dead. She doesn't know if Henry's alive or Duncan's alive. She doesn't know if any of these people are alive. And so she goes to this. It's one of my favorite scenes because it's one of these classic, you know.
You go to the bar. Scum.
And, you know, and it's the saloon in the old Western.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks they've got you. And there's the moment where... all these people. So there's a guy who's a paranoia agent that realizes that maybe his entire life has been a lie, including his ability to sow paranoia in those around him. A pain specialist just had a flood of detailed memories of all the pain he's caused over the year, and he's experiencing it all over again. She's able now to turn all of their powers back on themselves, and they're all just freaking out. And she turns around, and it's just like, it is like one of those where they realize, oh my gosh, they're a ninja.
Yeah. She starts projecting what they think she will do. And mm-hmm. I love looking at the page where they're picturing her, and one of them is her as a ninja, and you clearly see Ninjak. You know, like...
Yes. Oh, yeah, totally.
You start to see all these other characters that Matt, you know, loves and has worked on, and... So, little homage.
You see everything that everybody else is projecting onto her, and they always like
they always lose.
She's got this umbrella, and she's like, I got this. You know what this is? I took it from the first immortal before I killed him. Now, she doesn't say he just died because she was there,
but she did kill him,
though. Yeah. But everybody else thinks, you know what? I've got somewhere else to be.
Yeah.
And most of them leave, but there's a few left, and that's when she sort of projects this image, and they all see different things, but they basically all see themselves getting killed by her, and then they leave, and the bartender's still sort of tough, and she's basically like, hey, if you were important, you'd already have left. You're not even enough to worry about.
Yeah.
And then that's where she meets this fortune teller who was an original mind management person.
And this, you start to see some of the throwaway character references from earlier. Those people, she convinced them. It just took them a while. And they wouldn't come out in the open and support her. But now they're doing little things to help her. They're sending messages. They're helping her get to where she needs to be without maybe joining the army.
Right. Now, it's important, I think, to mention at this point also the backups.
Oh, yeah. The politician.
In this story, this character, the politician, who's maybe like a senator or something like that, and he's manipulated his way into getting a private meeting. Maybe he's not even a senator, because then it seems like you could, but he's blackmailed the president's wife into arranging a meeting with the president. And he's a manipulator. He's a mind management type agent. He's a manipulator. He's able to make things happen. And basically, he's selling him on this idea to create the new mind management headquarters, to bring mind management back. Yeah. And now, I will say, the cover, we've talked about some great covers. The cover to 29 is gorgeous, because it's Maru, but she's this warrior. But part of it is also sort of see-through. Like, you can see her ribs underneath.
Well, I always looked at it as the eraser penciling her.
Right.
And her
maybe trying to erase her. She's trying it in, and the eraser's trying to erase her at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're setting up this a match between them. And one of my favorite things in issue 29 is at the beginning, they've all been briefed on mental powers. They're all looking for mental powers. So instead, she actually rigs a real physical... Yeah.
explosive,
sort of minor explosive device to sort of fool them into what's going on, and they're like, they thought it was all just going to be fake, and it's not really fake. And she gets this other guy, Chardin, to create documents that other people look at, and she's just holding up a piece of paper, but they think it's a passport.
He's a comic book illustrator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yep. I love how he's not asleep. Like, he's just hanging out in the cell.
Right. Yeah.
No code word needed. So.
Yeah. And all these other drawings of, she looks at a drawing of Bill and
cries.
It, like, it's just a sketch, but when she looks at it, it's more. So, and then there's just this great scene of just, they're sort of throwing memories at each other.
Yeah. She gets to face the eraser, and they're throwing, like I said, throwing memories at each other. They're using their collected strength of experience, and then it turns out they're just standing, like, looking at each other, thinking about what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's classic, like, Japanese samurai,
right?
Where the two guys stand there for a while, and then one slice,
you know? Right? And Maru is winning.
Yeah, definitely.
But then it turns out, there are other people.
The eraser didn't come alone.
Yeah, so it's not a one-on-one battle. Maru was going to totally win that.
Yep.
And but then it turns out Maru didn't show up alone. She's got Dusty's army there.
I don't think she knew.
I don't think she knew. Yeah, it's not that she didn't come alone, but she's not alone.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the eraser kind of stumbles off, hurt.
She gets kind of stomped.
Which is a great little setup for the final issue.
Yes. Of
this arc, yeah.
Yeah, and Duncan, and they face tracks down the politician, but it turns out he's like, hey, it's already built.
Too late.
Yep, too late. So then we get to we get to issue 30, which is the last issue of this volume, which is all done with, like, it's a very, basically what you do is you dive deeper into the Eraser's memory. You get a lot of backstory on her, up until kind of even sort of the present, all this stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty much her life story.
Right.
But told in, like, against backdrops of classic stories, like, old, like, James Bond spy and, like, campy sci-fi and
right. There's times where it's kind of like Ming the Merciless and all that kind of stuff kind of rolled in together, and Escape from Nova Zemblin is what it's called, but it's this very sci-fi sort of thing, and there's lots of visual elements that tie it to things we've seen before, but you see more of her story. And you see Duncan.
With his finger pistols.
Yeah, with his finger pistols. And then Maru shows up and she wants to tell the story because that's what happened to the Eraser. She got blamed for the death of her husband, which she didn't really do, even though deserved it to have come from her. And you get some Henry Lim in there, and it's all this backstory. But it turns out it's all basically her sort of dreaming about her past and putting it into a different presentation. And her number two then finds her and saves her. And that's the end of volume five.
Yep.
And I really liked this. I love the politician backups. I love Maru going, you know, when that scene at the bar where, man, she just turns around and just like, I'm done. Getting kicked around.
You start to see that Maru is going to win this.
Right.
And you kind of expect it. If you didn't know you still had eight more issues, kind of expected it to wrap up.
Yeah.
But by the end of this, you start, and I kind of put this out, like you start to feel like you know what's going to happen. You know how it's going to wrap up, and you kind of see where all the pieces are coming together.
Right.
Which just means you're farther than you thought. Yeah.
Right.
You have no idea.
Yeah. If you didn't know that this wasn't the last volume, I think you're exactly right. I think you'd be reading it sort of feeling like it is until you get to that last story. Because you get into that last story, the last issue of this volume, and you can feel how much in the volume is left of it. And you're like, nope, there's no way this can wrap up here.
It solidifies the fact that Maru is the one, her first novel was about the Eraser. The two of them have a history after this, you still don't know.
Right.
You know, there's still a ton you don't actually know about. So, and I don't think that they know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, but they're connected in ways that were not apparent at the beginning, that they were linked. And so, which is what Matt's done the whole thing is reveal that there's none of this is an accident. You know, these things are all so much more connected and easily connected in ways we didn't see at first.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. So that wraps up volume five. Man, you just about ready to hit this last one?
Yep.
Let's do this last one. All right, everybody. So go read volume six of Mind Management. It's called The Immortals. And if you get into volume form, it's got Henry Lim right there on the cover, not looking his best. So take a break, read that one, and then come back and join us for volume six.